It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 356, entitled Erasing Jonathan's Face. It was recorded on Monday, the 24th of November, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I'm joined by Birgit Pauli-Hack, by Taco Verdonshot, and by Jonathan Bossinger, whose face we erase many, many times. We start the podcast on a sad note, marking the passing of a dedicated WordPress contributor. So we spend a few sad moments talking about that. And then we get into WordPress 6.9, and the vast majority of the episode is talking about what's coming in WordPress 6.9, all of the different pieces in terms of accessibility, all of the different bits and pieces in terms of performance. There's loads of content helping you through this phase, but also there are some live events that we talk about, one of which Jonathan is organizing, about what it is that you can do to get yourself aligned, getting ready for the new upcoming update. And then we get into a few different bits and pieces around the community. We talk about the fact that Jetpack has got a new person at the helm. I did a podcast about that. There's a whole bunch of new block suites, which have launched over the last few weeks as well. So there's absolutely loads in this episode, and I really hope that you enjoy it. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds.
Hello. I just did a really satisfying stretch. I don't know if anybody else was stretching whilst the music was on. It was very enjoyable. We are on episode number 356 of This Week in WordPress. As you can see, I am joined by a really nice panel of people. Everybody is a returning visitor, and I have to say that I'm very glad. This feels like one of the bigger weeks in WordPress in terms of, you know, what core is bringing out and the, you know, people getting aligned and learning what 6.9 has to bring in, more so than ever before, just because of the length of time it has been since the last update, which is, you know, in an unusual cycle at the moment. Anyway, we will get into that in a moment. The first thing that I need to do, though, is just sort of go around the houses and say hello to everybody. So let's go there first, which is Birgit Pauli-Hack. Yeah, thank you, Taco. Look, everybody's a pro. How are you doing, Birgit?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes. You're so welcome. I am really glad to have you back. I'm going to read Birgit's... I've already spotted that Taco looks like he's written me a poem. Okay, we'll get to that. Birgit's bio reads as follows. Birgit is the creator of Gutenberg Times. We will see that in a minute. Site with news around the WordPress block editor and beyond. She is the host of a podcast, of the podcast Gutenberg Changelog, which discusses what's new in Gutenberg and more with special guests. She's been contributing to the WordPress open source project since 2014. And in 2021, she closed her web agency after 20 years and now works as a developer advocate for Automattic. Very nice. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. And down there, there's Jonathan is so easy to get that wrong. Yes, if you just point in any direction, one of them will be right. It's Taco. Hello, Taco.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us. Okay, so I haven't read Taco's bio. It only just came into my view. So here we go.
This should be good.
Okay, here we go. Taco, so this is what he wrote. Taco brings ideas to life with calm. Oh, it rhymes. Okay. All right. So I've got to do it correctly. Taco brings ideas to life with calm and care. He builds in tech and finds new paths everywhere. At home in Viken, he feels steady and bright. His family gives him strength every day and every night. I added a word in there. He follows This Week in WordPress to stay sharp and on track. WP Builds keeps him updated, a secret life hack. From WordPress to Amelia, he follows his drive. Sinterklaas smiles and says, "Your spark keeps dreams alive." That's so nice.
Yes. Well, that had a
flavor.
There is a reason for this.
Okay.
Go on. We've just entered the Sinterklaas period, which is a Dutch holiday.
Yeah.
And one of the traditions connected to it is that you write poems in rhyme. So I figured for each other. So I figured I would do one for this occasion as well.
Well, you're I'm chuffed to bits. Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly. Can I just ask, is Sinterklaas, would that map to kind of like Advent? Is it a thing which begins and then there's a countdown and then it kind of ends at some point? Or what is that?
It's like Dutch Santa Claus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. But it's a but it's in the calendar.
Yeah, it's December 5th.
Okay. Okay. So interesting. There you go.
Yeah.
I did not.
A couple weeks leading up to it for the kids. So it's specifically a kids' holiday.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say anything about Santa Claus just in case there happens to be somebody watching and there's, you know, children around.
Oh, Santa Claus comes to Germany on December 6th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
24th. Two countries in one day, can you?
Yeah. 25th of December in my neck of the woods and down a chimney. As well. So, you know, he's got all sorts of different techniques by the looks of it. And over here, the last one joining us on the panel, over there, look, everybody's a pro, is Jonathan Bossinger. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
I've got to say, I'm very grateful, particularly to Jonathan, because we were supposed to have Seth Goldstein joining us today. He, unfortunately, is unwell. And so Jonathan stepped in at the very last moment. So I'm very appreciative of that. I'm really, really happy to have you with us. But get well soon, Seth. I hope all things are, you know, on the mend. So here's Jonathan's bio. Jonathan is a developer, educator, writer, and open source advocate from Cape Town, South Africa. After a 20-year career in software development, he found his calling in developer relations in 2020 and hasn't looked back. Jonathan is passionate about supporting developer communities, building awesome developer tooling, and creating engaging educational content for developers. And we will be featuring something that Jonathan has put together during the course of this week. So that is our little panel. Thank you from me to all of you. Really appreciate it. We of course have like the comment thing going, and the show is kind of buoyed along very much so by the comments. So if you wish to add your comments, and you know, if it's WordPress, I think we've yet to have like a comment. Oh, as soon as I say this, I'm going to regret it. I don't think we've yet had a comment which was like on put on the screenable, if you know what I mean. Everybody that seems to watch the show seems to have, you know, the right ethics about it, like propelling the show forward and thinking about nice things to say. So keep it like that. We'd appreciate it. The only weird thing is whenever a comment comes in from Twitch, the Twitch platform, it's always just totally off message. It's just clearly some bot that loves gaming or something like that and just has hijacked our thread. But if you want to make use of comments, there's a couple of probably the easiest way to do it is to go here. So Taco is currently sporting the look. What a pro. wpbuilds.com/live. If you head over there and you are on a desktop, then the embedded YouTube comments are on the right of the video, below the video on a mobile device. But if you don't want to be logged into a Google account, that's fine. There's a little box inside the video itself, which says live chat, top right. I think it's a black button. And you don't have to be logged into anything, and none of that data is kept. It just comes in as a comment, and your account there is no account. You don't create an account. It's just live during the course of this. So anybody that wants to make a comment, please do. And here are some. Here are some comments that people have made. Courtney joining us. I'm guessing that's a cup of coffee or something, just sort of illustrating that.
Cheers, Courtney.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheers. Cheers.
I'm on the water. Oh, never mind. And then gets a reply from Philly, Codehound. Hello. Oh, I think that might be Seth. I'm not sure. If it's you, Seth, get well soon. I hope that you're doing all right.
Yes, that is pretty. Seth.
Oh, thank you for joining us in the comments. That's absolutely lovely. Reese Wynn is joining us saying, good afternoon from a chilly Newton Le Willows. The local shop had Easter eggs. What? Like, did you go back in time today? What happened there? You're way off. So Fon says code. Well, that's Seth, we now know. So thank you very much. And I think there might be a bunch of comments just sort of going backwards and forwards amongst the various people. No, oh, here we go. No comments that are unputonable on screen. Challenge accepted.
Marcus.
Oh, Marcus, don't do it. Don't give in to that.
Marcus, we know you, Beaver.
Yeah, we know where you, well, we don't know where you live. It's in Florida. But do you remember Tom and Jerry cartoons? I don't know if you watched those when you were a kid, but Tom and Jerry, very often they would have this like devil on the shoulder and on the other side would be the angel. go with the angel, Marcus. don't give in to the devil.
Out of context, that sounds like a really nasty wish to wish someone.
Go with the angel.
It does, yeah. He says he's grateful to us all for the show. If there's any that pop up, I will bring those on in a moment. But whoever Code of Joy, Joy of Code is, they're taking a few moments to go and
That's
do the laundry.
Gross.
Okay. Oh, is it? Oh, of course it is. Joy of WP. I see it there now. He's going to go and do the laundry. We'll see you in a bit, Bob. Yeah, nice to have you with us. Right, let me get rid of those bits and pieces off the screen and we'll get stuck into what it is that we're trying to do today. Yeah, thank you. Right, so this is us, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy keeping up to date with what we do, just stick your email address in this field and you'll receive two emails. One when we push this out, we repackage this for a podcast audience. That's sort of why we do it. It's for the podcast episode in the morning. So you'll get an email alert sort of early tomorrow morning to say that it's come out and you can listen to it in your car while you're doing the vacuuming, whatever. And so you'll get that. And then on a Thursday when we put out a podcast episode, you will get that as well.
Sorry, I assume you mean listening to it in your car or while you're doing the vacuuming, not in your car.
Well, you could be vacuuming the car.
Well, right. Yeah.
Not driving whilst vacuuming the car. That's totally off piece. No, we're not doing that. That was the unputonable message whilst vacuuming the car and driving. No. So put your email address in there and we'll send you one when we do an episode on a Thursday as well. You can get to the sort of archive of the bits and pieces that we produce. If you click in the little archive thing here, then here we go. And you can see that the most recent episode that I did was all about Checkout Summit. I don't know if you've heard about this, but next year in Sicily, I want to say. Where is it? Is it Palermo, I think? I've actually forgotten, but certainly it's in a resort. So if you're into WooCommerce or e-commerce more generally and you'd like to hang out with some like-minded people, go and check out that episode. There is a real-world event happening in what can only be described as a resort. So you could definitely combine holiday making with going to a WordPress or WooCommerce event. So check that out and you can find out more about that. And then we have our Black Friday deals page. If you go to wpbuilds.com/black, we've got a few sponsored slots that you can see at the top. But basically, if you start to scroll down, these are all listings that people have sent to me. There's no affiliate links or anything like that, but there's 300 and something there at the minute. So there's absolutely loads. It goes a bit mental. So if you click this
season,
you're not going to be able to cope with scrolling it because I deliberately because in the beginning when I put it out, I had it in the order that they were submitted, and I thought, well, that's not fair. So now every hour it randomizes, and so which makes it fair, but equally it makes it like really hard to figure out what's going on. So if you click
in shopping in your favorite store, around.
That's exactly what it's like. So if you go in here, click the little search and filter thing, and then you can either search for a product name or the people who submitted them submitted the categories that they felt it would, you know, most represented. So you can go and do it in that way. And then also if you would like to add your own deal, it's totally free. You just click that button, fill out a form, and I'll stick it on, you know, as soon as I get around to it, usually within an hour or so. It's just loads. And my inbox is mental at the moment, not just because of these deals coming in to go on this page, but I mean, it must be the same for you, right? Every single thing of any description that ever got hold of my email address is currently emailing me. I'm getting, honestly, since we started this show, I've had 15 emails. 15 emails in the last like 8 minutes or so. It's absolutely insane. So I don't know what to do. So if you're in the WordPress space and you fancy sort of getting away from all that, I probably have it here. And it'll show you, for example, you know, how much they claim they're knocking off the price and what have you. So, you know, go and have a look. WPbuilds.com.
Yeah, I saw a couple at 100%. So,
yeah. So the weird thing about that is because of the way I set up the form and I had to have a number in that field, some things are it's like free for a year. And so I don't really have a perfect way of encapsulating that. So yeah, you're right. There are a couple which are a bit weird like that, but I don't know how to sort of define that otherwise. But mostly the number works. So, you know, there's loads of money to be had off, and I know lots of people do that. So,
I mean, we talked about this before the show, but I can offer Progress Planner at 100% discount.
Okay.
It's a free product.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. In the end, you'll end up paying people to have it. It's like, yeah, 100% off free is still free. So go check that out. And yeah, you know, that's quite nice. And this is the interview that I did with Rodolfo Milogli, all about the summit, which is happening next year. So you can check that out, episode 446. Righty-ho. Let's get into the bits and pieces. Anybody want to talk about Black Friday before we move on? Just, you know, in case they do. Probably not.
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Right then, so I was going to lead in a different way, but quite rightly, I was Taco requested that we could put this item first. So I'm sort of going from jovial and banter, which I had in my, you know, in my voice a moment ago, to exactly the opposite. And I hope that I managed to do that with the taste and decorum which it requires. So this is a piece. There are several pieces around on the internet at the moment, but this is a piece which Taco has selected. It's WordCamp Asia 2026 website. And the piece is entitled In Loving Memory of Zeal Thakkar. Now, I confess I don't have any experience of working with Zeal or meeting Zeal in any way, shape or form. But looking at the list of things which Zeal had been up to in the more recent past, a real kind of titan in that part of the world, of the community, somebody that was really busting a gut to help drive the community forwards. But I don't know, Taco, if you want to take it from here. Perhaps you've met Zeal or know a little bit more about
it. Yes,
more to the story.
I was lucky enough to meet her at WordCamp Ahmedabad in 2023. And then over the course of the years after, online and at online events a couple of times. Like you said, a force for good, very active in the WordPress community. And at just 24 years old, which is part of the youth that we really want to get into WordPress. Mm. And it would have been fantastic if we'd had her for many more years in our community. Unfortunately, there was an incident. She was unwell while on stage talking about WordCamp Asia at a WordCamp Surat. And despite WordPressers doing CPR and trying to save her life, that was unfortunately that didn't happen. So she passed away in the community that she loved and was very active in.
Yeah, there's no nice way of sharing this news, is there? There's only sorrow, really. But it's amazing that, you know, in that short space of time, a very young life, that in that short space of time, so much had been achieved in a project that was obviously very, very meaningful to her. And, you know, I guess my condolences would just go out to anybody that knows her or is affected by this. It's brutal, and you know, for it to happen in such a public way as well is hard to cope with. I don't know if anybody else has anything to add to that. No, okay. In which case, unfortunately, life always, as always, has to move on. And I hope you'll forgive us if at some point we draw a line and become our sort of entertaining selves and jocular selves again. But like I said, to anybody that knew Zeal or indeed was present at that moment when things occurred at WordCamp Surat, commiserations. And there is at least a testimony there. You know, something great was achieved in such a short space of time.
Yeah, and I saw there was already a mention that she will be added to wordpress.org/remembers, which is the page that lists those in our community who've left us too early.
Maybe a way to round this off is if I just read the last few paragraphs from the WordCamp Asia piece. The link will be in the show notes if you want to follow this up, but it says, it's entitled Remembrance. The loss of someone so bright, talented, and full of promise is deeply painful. Her passion for learning and her desire to help others realize WordPress's potential defined her contributions. She found fulfillment in empowering others to explore what WordPress offers, and her collaborative spirit touched countless lives. Zeal's legacy will live on through the community she built, and the countless contributions she made to WordPress. Our thoughts and prayers are with Zeal's immediate family, friends, and all who knew and loved her. And like I said, there are various articles that you can find online which say more or less the same thing, but always very painful when somebody in the community which you thrive in passes away. So, okay.
Yep.
Right. Okay. On that note, we will move on. And I would imagine it would be, apropos to carry on as normal, if that's all right with everybody else. So here's another piece, which I'll just mention. The WordPress Foundation produced a piece. It's very similar. However, this not just remembers Zeal, but it was a piece talking about the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship, which Zeal was a recipient of. And he also goes on to mention Pooja Dharashri. But given what's happened this week, we will just leave it hanging there. Okay. So let's turn our attention to something entirely different. This time, WordPress 6.9. I feel like the rest of this show is going to be basically dominated by this, the upcoming WordPress 6.9 release. In a normal cycle of events, we maybe wouldn't have quite as much drop in at this one time, because the period of time would be smaller between the last release and this major release. And so it's felt like over the last couple of weeks, lots and lots has been ramping up. Lots of pieces have been written about all of the different pieces that are dropping in, whether that's from an accessibility point of view, from a performance point of view. And Birgit, bless her life, decided to write a book. And here it is. It's called The WordPress 6.9 Source of Truth. And I don't know if you can see. Can you see my scroll bar? You can. Look how tiny the scroll bar is on the right-hand side. That kind of shows it, doesn't it? It's massive. There's so many things dropping. And so in order to make this more palatable for a show of this length and scope, I asked Birgit just to sort of cherry pick some of her favorite, well, favorite's probably the wrong word, some of the bits that were most impactful or most important to her. So over to you, Birgit.
Well, thank you. Yes. There's a lot of things to go through. And I actually picked my favorites. And I really love that we have new blogs coming to Core, especially the accordion blog and the time to read blog, as well as the math blog and the term query blog. They're all new, and they actually enrich all the things you want to do with a blog. The accordion blog for your FAQs. The time to read is to had some major accessibility overhaul, so it actually could go into Core, and it has a time to read is really helpful. But the source of truth kind of stumped me a bit because it's 22 to 33 minutes. And it has
is that what this article is when you put in the, is that what it says?
Yeah.
It's not, it's way longer than that. especially when you get to this picture and you spend a bit of time thinking, what does that mean? And if anybody's maths is up to that, but just look at that.
I like that. I'm really happy that the math block is now really
interesting.
But that's just my preference, because I had math in school quite a bit, and I wanted to actually be a math teacher, but it turned out other ways. But that's a different story. So those two things, four things, new blocks. And then there's this stretchy text variation that comes in that had went through a quite a bit different interface, but it's how you can transform your headline into a text that fills up the full screen or the full container that it's in.
Honestly, it was about 4 weeks ago we had Steve Burge on this show, and we got into this, and none of us knew what stretchy text was, and so we were imagining this sort of fairly elastic text, what we put inside. I don't know, you could sort of pull it out, but the principle is, just to clear it up for everybody, the idea is it occupies the full space available, which I guess in many scenarios is exactly what you may need to deploy. You just want it to fill up the available space and not look justified left or right or what have you.
Right, or you want to have just a different font design in there, and then and it actually does that when you type it in and you transform it into stretchy text and type further. It actually kind of goes smaller the year longer it becomes. Yeah, so it's kind of really interesting to see. But it's also totally responsive. So if that text is on a mobile, it's adjusting for that. So it's a really nice design tool to have. It's available for paragraph as well as for the heading block.
Okay.
And those who have custom blocks that are text oriented, they can actually put it into a support for the black JSON, and it's fit text equals true or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I have it in there. Yeah. So it's a it's more things. Yeah. And I'm absolutely in love with the command palette being anywhere. Because now I don't have to, you do Control K, and then a little box comes up where you can type a command or say, go to site editor or add a block, add a post, or go to settings. You don't have to go through the whole menu to actually get to the page. And that's really streamlining my content creation. So
I guess it's a bit like if you're a Mac user, then it's like Spotlight. You hit a command, and then but in the past, the command palette for WordPress has been limited. If I'm right, I don't make heavy use of it, to be honest. Was it limited to like the post and page editor and things? You know, there was definitely
the site editor,
the site editor as well.
Yeah.
Okay, but now it's more or less everywhere, and it can certainly get you around inside the admin as well. So
plugins can now add also commands to it. So if they are not in the site editor, they could do that before, but now those plugins that are not tied to the site editor can also add commands to it. So you can, people can get faster to the things that they want to do. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Anything else on that list, Birgit?
And then it's all kind of changes that are incremental, but I also like the custom social icons that you can create. That's more for the developer part, but it's something you can, as a site owner, can ask a developer to create you additional social icons that are for your case. So social icons are the profiles for YouTube or Twitter or Blue Sky. Those are in core. But you cannot have every social network or any network just put it in core. Yeah. So now what the core developers did was opening it up for extensions. So you can. So I built a plugin where I added multiple podcast directory icons, so I can add them to that. So that kind of Or Justin Tadlock did a tutorial on the developer blog on how to do this, and he added Ko-fi and other payment stuff, or the movie database kind of icon. So depending on what the site is about, you can drill really down into the social icons of your space.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Anything else?
Yeah. For those who are still going for additional CSS, that's the, I can't do this with theme.json, and I just want to change one little thing in CSS. The additional CSS has been around for in WordPress quite a bit, but they moved it. So people will search for it, and I want to kind of warn people. It's going to be, it's in the Eclipse menu of the style section in both sides. Yeah, we have style sections, I don't know why, but on two sides of the editor. One is directly from the menu of the site editor, and then the Eclipse menu. Eclipse menus are the three dot menus.
Yeah.
Just say. yeah, it's a technical term that I had to look up to. Yeah,
I'm trying to find that here. Is it this one here? Additional CSS control moved.
Right.
Is that what you're
talking about? And that's where the places are to look for it. I know that kind of will trip up a few people that are site builders, and so if they listen to it, they get a leg up on finding it.
Lovely.
I think the last one is more about the video block, because I really like that you can now have multiple subtitle tracks when you upload it. Yeah, so you can have a Korean track, you can have an English track, a German track, and you can manage it all through the interface there. And then also display it. That's really one of the power features now to get multilingual.
So in the past, when you uploaded a, because I had to do this for things like the Page Builder Summit, because we use VideoPress, and you have to go into the, you drop your video into the media library, then you go into the block editor, put it somewhere on the website. And you're right, you only had this one option. And it may be that you want to do it in, I don't know, Spanish or Korean or whatever. Now you've got the option to do that's very cool, actually. Yeah. I didn't know that. I missed that entirely.
So I'm kind of, and now you can do styling and form elements in theme JSON. That's for all the theme builders out there, kind of a big sigh, finally. And it's not entirely yet for all the form elements, but it's a good start.
Okay.
And that's pretty much what I had selected for now.
So, like I said earlier, if you go to Big It's Peace, which is called WordPress 6.9 Source of Truth, the link will be in the show notes tomorrow, but it's gutenbergtimes.com, and, you know, go to one of the more recent posts and it will be there. There's literally, I don't know, 50, maybe 60 different things to look at here, which gives you some indication of the weight of this particular release. And there were just a few that Birgit has chosen, but you can see I'm showing on the screen. If you're not able to see what's on the screen, I'm just scrolling through a list of anchor tags, which will take you to a different part of the article. And there's absolutely masses in there. So please do feel free to go and check that out. I'm gone, Birgit. It sounded like you had something else.
Oh, I just wanted to mention, I had the idea I needed to do everything that's in the block editor, because sometimes that's hard for content creators to find, but there's also a ton of information available for developers, and that's going to be on the bottom, and I only linked, or only a few things are actually described, and the rest are kind of more developer notes to go to, and that list is also quite long.
There's another like 10 hours of
group,
10 hours of content right there to go and look at. We're going to concentrate on a few other bits and pieces related to this, but we're going to sort of move away from this more general approach into some sort of slightly more detailed approaches. Much of it we can't cover in detail because the articles that we're referencing are just technical deep dives, and you will have to, what was that, Taka?
And they're so long and so detailed.
You can't parse it, so we'll just sort of highlight that it's there, give you an intuition of some of the bits and pieces that have been mentioned. The first one, just going to dwell here just for a moment to read out this text in yellow, and then we'll go and show you where this actually ends up. This is Weston Reuters' website, and he's got a piece which he released, I don't know, a week ago or so now, called WordPress 6.9 Performance Landings. And as I said, I'll just read it out. WordPress 6.9 includes so many performance improvements. Scripts with fetch priority, increased inline CSS, minified theme styles, on-demand block styles and classic themes, the template enhancement output buffer, and much more. And then he says, go and check out a field guide, which I will link to in the show notes again tomorrow. This is it. And it rivals your piece, Big. It's not quite as long, but it's pretty much there. And he goes into basically the code for all of this. And so you can see this giant list of anchor tags, which you can look at to figure out, I don't know, fetch priority support for scripts, increased inline style limit, load block styles on demand and classic themes, some of the things that he mentioned, and so much more. But it's all there. I don't know if anybody wants to actually add anything into that, something that they found curious or interesting. If not, I will just move it along.
Yeah, maybe good to know is that Weston's piece is very detailed, but like you said, very technical. Whereas, as always, Birgit's piece can be read by non-developers as well.
Yeah,
it's much more descriptive. It's much more accessible to non-devs, and we'll give you that great overview of what's coming.
Nice.
And I would have said that if you weren't here, Birgit.
Thank you. Thank you, Taco.
I really like your writing every single time. And yeah, like you said yourself, this is probably the most detailed or the longest piece you've ever done. And it did take me about 20 minutes to read through.
Yeah.
But none of that feels boring. So it's definitely worth a read if you're using WordPress day to day.
And the check is in the mail. that was very nice. Very nice of you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Taco.
Yeah, isn't that lovely? So, okay, I noticed, I'm just going to pause briefly to just take a look at a few of the comments. I don't know where we got to. There's not very many, but there's a few people saying hello. And then Amber Hines drops in, which is interesting given what we're just going to talk about. I'm so sorry, Jonathan. It does this. It obliterates the person's face at the bottom. For the next 10 days, I'm going to be deleting triple emails. So we're talking about Black Friday. Okay, but I do it so I can't do it too, so I can't complain. She says, Amber goes on to say, so sad about Zeal, as does Seth there as well. And Reese also chimes in and says 24 is no age. That's exactly right. Okay, Amber, talking about time to read, she says time to read is kind of BS. So much impacts their abilities, but also font styles, paragraph lengths, image inclusion, etc. It would be much better to show, and I'll just read what she says, the word count rather than minutes. Do you know, that's interesting. You get an option in that block, though, don't you? Wasn't there a word? Yeah, there was a word count as opposed to a time to read.
Yeah,
I've always been a fairly sort of, I've been medium to fast reader, never like very, very fast, but certainly not very, very slow. And I've often found those things, I usually take off a couple of minutes. If it says 30 minutes, I'll probably manage it in 25 or something like that. So it never quite jives. But I think the word count also, I don't know, there's something about that that would freak me out. If I saw it was 10,000 words, I'm heading off. It's like 20 minutes. I could do 20 minutes. 10,000 words, I'm not sure. Sounds like an essay.
That's the beauty of the time to read it. We had a similar conversation in the Learn WordPress courses. We used to have a percentage of people that have completed the course. And we remove that because if that percentage looks massively high and it's something you're struggling with, you might think, oh, well, everybody can do this and I can't.
Yeah.
So I feel like time to read, it just gives you a bit of, oh, okay, this is 30 minutes of my life. It's no big deal.
Yes.
If I see like 4,000 words, I'm like, no, it passed.
You know, I was curious about it. I wonder how much, like nobody has any metrics to this. I'm sure nobody can answer it. But anecdotally, I wonder how much of a put off it is as opposed to a welcome in. Because obviously the intention is to give you some intuition as, yes, I can manage this now, but I wonder how much of it ends up in, no, I can't manage this now. And then you never get back to it. It's kind of curious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if it doesn't have the timing, I'll just scroll down and see how long it is. And if I estimate that I have the time to read this now, and
I am,
even if it's off by 50%, I will still attribute some value to the time to read.
Yes. I do what I did a minute ago. I look at the size of the scroll bar, and if the scroll bar is really tiny, then that's a bit of an indication to me. The other thing I do, and I don't know if anybody else does this, I'm currently using the Vivaldi browser, and it's got this button inside the browser where you click it, and it's called reading mode. And, you know, there's extensions and all sorts of things that will do the same thing. But Vivaldi, it's right in the browser. You click the button and it just gives you the text. And something about that makes, even if it was like way too long for me, something about that means I'm going to embark on it. Just the fact that it's black on white, the images in some cases have gone. Certainly things like advertisements have been maybe pulled out and things like that. Menus might have disappeared. It's just the text itself that helps me get over the hump of reading those kind of things.
Yeah, so. Chrome has that too. It opens in a sidebar, not in the whole browser. And for the time to read, I think that was one of the accessibility improvements, is that you now can display a range. It was
23 to 32 minutes. All right. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
To kind of offset that. Yeah. Oh, if I'm not taking it, yeah, Yeah.
Maybe you should ask some questions like, did you have a drink last night? If yes, we're going to double the amount of time that we anticipate.
Is this a technical piece?
Yeah. How good are you with PHP?
Are you English native?
yeah, for sure. Yeah. So what could already help is if you'd be able to sort of set an average reading speed in your browser where... Yeah. I can say, look, in English, on average, I do so many words a minute, and I'll figure that out over time.
Do you know that's
twice as fast?
That's genuinely a great idea. Like that should be a thing that the browsers ship with. There should be a flag somewhere where you could say in the browser, like somewhere inside of Chromium or whatever it may be, I typically read 100 words a minute or whatever. That would be really great. And then
the real great thing would be if the browser would detect it.
Yes. So it detects scroll. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you have like an ebook reader. I have a Kindle, and at the very beginning of every book, it does this process. And it can show you how many minutes is left in the chapter and what have you. And it does exactly that. It for a few minutes, it figures out how many times you're flicking through the pages and how many words that is. And it's really accurate. And it gives you a real, I mean, it's just great, you know, how long before I get in trouble for reading the next chapter is basically what I have to kind of figure out. And as expected, the Twitch meaningless comment drops in. Thanks for that, whoever wrote that script. Appreciate it. Amber's back with a comment about that. The time to read plugin accounts for images. Okay, great. Thank you. The block, does it or doesn't? Yes, it does. The block doesn't, which makes me think it's less accurate. Okay, so this is a plugin versus the core block. All right, thank you very much. And then we have Aki Hamano. Hello, nice to have you with us.
Yay.
There's a lot of discussion before shipping this block to core. The initial display is a range view, and the word count option is provided to, and it's got truncated, I'll read it, to mitigate accessibility concerns as much as possible. Isn't this great? We've got two people in the chat who are like really on it with this. So we've got Amber with the accessibility side, and we've got Aki on the developer side, and we've got Jonathan. And on it goes. This is fabulous. I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, it's there anyway. Make use of it if you want. It's available to you if you want. I didn't know we'd have the time to read. Now it'll be time to listen. We need that inside of a WordPress. How long was the section about the time to read? Okay, right. Anything else about that before we move on to the next bit? Okay, in which case we will do just that. Let me pop it back on the screen one more time. This is big. Biggest piece we've done with. Apologies. So here we go. We're back with Weston. WordPress 6.9 front-end performance field guide, as Taco said, is complicated and what have you. Go check it out, but I'll link to it in the show notes. But lots and lots is the answer. I feel like I should probably read some of these things out rather than just be quite so glib. Okay, here we go. 6.9 is the second and final major release of 2025, including numerous improvements to the performance of loading pages on the front end. The reason I want to mention it and not just glibly move on is because the performance team, what a great thing that was, making that team, and how much we've all benefited from it. So here we go. This is what they've been up to lately. Scripts, improve script loading performance by adding support for fetch priority, printing script modules in the footer, and optimizing the emoji detection script. Styles, optimize loading of style sheets by loading block styles on demand in classic themes. That's actually really cool. Omitting styles for hidden blocks, again, very cool. Increasing the inline style limit from 20 to 40K and inlining minified style sheets in block themes. Introducing the template enhancement output buffer to implement optimizations previously impossible. And then there's a more section. Spawn WP cron at shutdown. Eliminate layout shifts in the video block. Fix RSS feed caching and so on. There's way more than that, but... they were the high-level item. And great thanks to the performance team for amazing work. I always do wonder, how will they ever run out of things to make better? Is there going to be a moment where they go, we've done performances?
For as long as there are developers adding new features, there will always be other developers improving performance.
Yeah, I on a pet project the other week implemented view transitions, and I know that's bundled inside of the Performance Labs plugin. So I just find that so great. I don't know what it is. There's just something super cool about navigating from one thing to another, and it doesn't. I've just got it on its typical settings, and it doesn't just do that sort of crossfade where one thing sort of seems to just fade out and then come in. It does things like it knows that the link you've clicked on, the H1, now belongs up there, and so it kind of it's almost like it's zoomed into place, and it's just cool, and very much like what the kids on mobile phones are expecting in their UIs these days with, you know, core animations in iOS and things like that. So anyway, the performance team doing great work. Anybody want to add anything before we move on? Okay, in which case, handy that Amber is in the comments. We've got Joe Dolson here, having a chat with Joe tomorrow. I'm quite looking forward to that. Accessibility is what's under the microscope now. Accessibility improvements in WordPress 6.9. Same rules apply. It's a very, very long article. The article itself isn't long, but it links out to a whole bunch of different things, if you know what I mean. So WordPress 6.9 brings extensive accessibility improvements across WordPress Core and Gutenberg. I'm paraphrasing, so excuse me. These updates include changes to administration, customization, login and registration, bundled themes, and the block editor. And then in terms of Core, the improvements to WordPress Core include 33 accessibility enhancement and bug fixes, which include numerous new or improved screen reader notifications, a complete update of CSS-generated content to ensure no excess content is spoken, and code changes to ensure proper semantics and improved focus management. Amber, forgive me, because I'm not an expert when it comes to in terms of accessibility. I hope I'm not missing out anything important here. And then in terms of Gutenberg changes has 44 accessibility fixes and enhancements, including the addition of new blocks and the block notes feature. There we go, Jonathan. There it was. The new block notes feature that have undergone accessibility reviews as well. And then there's a whole load of other things, if you're curious, that you can link to. Should we just get into the notes thing right now whilst yes, before we forget about it? So in WordPress 6.9, we're in phase 3 of the Gutenberg project. And the intention is to, I guess the North Star is Google Docs style collaboration. The idea that you can collaborate and, you know, other people can log in and perhaps you'll be able to see the cursor moving around and things that are highlighted will be visible to other people. That is an incredibly hard technical challenge, given that we don't own the Google data centers for each WordPress website. And Notes is like a first pass at this, I suppose, really. And it's the idea on a per block basis. So you don't get to highlight a bit of a paragraph. You're just making a note on the paragraph block. You can put a little note in the sidebar. Those notes can then be viewed by other relevant people with the correct permissions, and they can be sort of assigned to people, and they can be checked off as complete and those kind of things. And it's a really, really nice first pass, which doesn't require a great deal. I wouldn't have thought of server grunt or hosting, you know, hosting on a super duper web sockets enabled, infrastructure. It's a little bit more low key than that. But Jonathan, was there more that you wanted to add?
So I'm probably not actually the best person to talk about this. Probably Birgit knows more about this than I do. Would that be correct, Birgit?
I don't know. I don't know what you know.
I don't know. I don't know much.
Spill the beans.
I just mentioned it as part of the discussion I was having around some of the changes coming to Gutenberg with the notes feature. So Birgit, I think you have a better view of what's happening.
It's not better as you, if you share.
Well, the notes are in WordPress Core, and they're coming, as Nathan described. You see little bubbles coming up, and on the right-hand side, the sidebar, there's an additional sidebar. We might run out of stack room for how often we stack the sidebars, but
yeah.
The block notes are in there. The notes are in there. So if somebody has access to a post, they can leave notes. So any author can leave notes on their own, but every editor can leave notes on every author's. post, and an admin can leave notes everywhere. And you can resolve them, you can reopen them, and then they do have little bubbles. You can thread them with replies. It's actually quite nice interface. And you see in the blog toolbar if there are actually notes, because there are some avatars appearing if the sidebar is not open. So how would you know that there are notes? That's one thing. Yeah, so...
So is it a little bit like the, I don't know, let's say, for example, you've got Jetpack installed or something. Over at the top right, you get that green Jetpack icon, which is near, very close to the publish button, mm-hmm. or the update button or whatever it may be. Do we get like a little speech bubble there or something? And that demonstrates, okay, there's stuff. And does it have like a little red nag or something like you might find in Google Docs?
There were discussions about the red nag. Red nag.
they were entirely different discussions.
Little red nagging.
But that's where my brain rose. Sorry. I was in the south of America for quite a bit. they haven't found the right interface for that yet.
It's like a sidebar, but it lives. It's not like occupying space in another sidebar.
No,
like an accordion. It's got its own side. Yeah, that has the capacity, that sidebar, to get very fizzy, doesn't it? There's a lot going on, but it feels like if you've got it, if it's got its own generic mm-hmm. sidebar, and also I suppose if it gets invoked when you interact with the the comment, which is in the editor itself, then yeah. Right. Anyway, it's coming. You'll be able to make use of it in 6.9
in just a
few short days and try it out for yourself. VIP WordPress mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago released a post where, and I don't know how they did it. I don't know what, I mean, presumably they were on the .com infrastructure. I'm not entirely sure, but they appear to have pulled off a fairly pretty much faithful faithful version of like Google Docs inside the block editor. I think there's probably a lot of heavy lifting. I'd be kind of curious to see if that turns into like an enterprise level feature where you pay for some additional server somewhere which is holding the comments, maybe a Jetpack feature or something like that, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think the biggest part is actually the server infrastructure, because you need some WebRT socket thingy, and that has on shared hosting definitely lag, so you need a different infrastructure for that. You can do it on any VPN server hosting. The plugin, it's actually the testing of the collaboration feature that will come. They're aiming for 7.0, and this is pretty much a live testing. They have a few things that are VIP only section there, but it's definitely they have a new plugin for that, and
it's a work in progress, and you can check it out. Absolutely. So Amber makes an interesting point. So she mentioned, did we do that one already? Yes, we did. So sorry, Jonathan, your face just disappears.
It's fine.
Amber says you can only have one note on any block, though. We thought about having the accessibility checker flag issues on blocks in this way, but then no one else can create notes on that block. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. So if somebody has already put a note on a block, is the current implementation, Amber, is what you're saying, that block is now, its allocation of notes is consumed?
You can do replies.
Good point. Yeah. But you can't start another thread about, let's say, I don't know, there were two subjects covered in that paragraph. Okay, that's an interesting point. And then that's work to be done. And then Amber says it's sort of irritating that notes are block level also. You can't have different notes on different parts of a sentence. Yeah, that was what I was trying to say. You know, in the Google Doc thing, you just highlight a word or something, don't you? But definitely out of scope for now.
It's definitely
on I think, though, that this will have a very positive effect on the readability for posts in WordPress, because now people will finally start writing shorter paragraphs
So they have more common. So they can
more often, exactly.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
It's a good point. And Aki's popped up at just the right moment, hopefully, to assuage Amber's worries there. Inline level notes are planned for the future. And by that, I guess, Aki, that you're meaning, you know, a bit of a paragraph or whatever it may be. So here's a curious example, right? So for this show, I put together some show notes, and I cannot do them in the block editor, which would be the perfect place to do them. We're talking about WordPress. I create a post in WordPress so I've already created the post. All of the links are in there, but it would be a total hot mess. So this week it went into a Google Doc. This show could easily skip that step entirely. And maybe now with the notes feature, maybe that'll be enough actually, because typically we don't have too many people commenting on one particular inline bit. So yeah, we'll wait and see. And Amber says, good point, Taco. I can't make that one go away. There it is. There you go. You should Photoshop that. That's a good one. Good point, Taco.
I will say this. We might not have, you know, Google levels of collaboration yet, but I can control V a link and paste it over to the text. So
Yeah.
You can't do that in Google Docs.
No, that's true.
Oh, and that messes me up every single time that I'm in Google Docs.
Yes.
Especially the fact that it's Control K and the command palette's Control K.
Links are rubbish in Google Docs. Like, it's way superior in the block editor. I don't know why they haven't figured that out. Maybe their typical user isn't doing links. It's just text. You know, they're writing.
Well, my favorite thing about that is even GitHub allows you to control V a link, and then it turns it into a markdown link. So even GitHub figured that out.
Yeah. Okay, come on, Google. Yeah. You've got billions. Do the links right. Okay, so that was the accessibility piece in terms of that. Amber, if there's anything that we missed, please let us know. I mean, really, I'm just pointing everybody in terms of Joe's PC, accessibility improvements in WordPress 6.9. You can go and check it out.
I think where you asked, are we ever running out of performance optimizations?
Yeah.
We can ask the same question for accessibility improvements.
Yeah.
And Jonathan's reply is still valid. As long as developers create code, we will have accessibility improvements because unfortunately, too many developers are lacking accessibility knowledge.
Do you know what, though? Like, the more that WordPress does in this regard, this is going to sound wrong-headed, because I'm not advocating that people willfully don't know what they need to do in terms of accessibility, but the more heavy lifting that WordPress Core can do to make that job easily available and right there at the point, you know, so you're in a paragraph or you've uploaded an image or what have you, the more that the block editor can do to sort of say, hang on, this bit needs doing before you progress to the next step, the less likely those things are going to be wrong. So
at user level, for sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
Developer level, it's slightly different, although code style and stuff like that really do help as well.
Yeah, thank you. A good clarification point. Okay, so that was that. And then I'm going to move on to here. So we're over. I was going to mention this anyway, but Jonathan's joining us. So he might as well take it over. It's What's New in Gutenberg 22.1. Let's just give it the scroll bar test. It's pretty big. It's still pretty big. And because I knew Jonathan wasn't going to be on, I didn't highlight anything. What I did say to Jonathan prior to the call was pick the bits that you are most intrigued about that are dropping in Gutenberg. So over to you, Jonathan. What do you want to mention from this?
So the first big thing is just the new tabs block. And one of the main reasons I want to highlight it is because the tabs block was actually something that was added to Gutenberg by Seth Rubenstein from Pew Research. It's something that they developed internally for their customers, and then they brought it over to Core. And I just think it's one of those really cool stories of, like, you know, an external company, an external agency finding a solution that works and putting it in. So you can now have a tabs block that you can pop in your posts, your pages, your templates. You can add tabs. You can add content within those tabs. The tabs can have styling, different colors, different backgrounds. You can also, and the video doesn't show this, you can also add a tabs block within a tabs block.
Oh,
so tab one, and then tab section, and you can kind of get crazy. Yeah. I don't know how far it goes.
Oh, it's like listening all the way down.
Please don't do this.
Ingestions.
It's a really cool example of what's possible with this whole, you know, collaboration of open source environment. So do check that out.
May I just ask a quick question? So in the very short video that we're watching, there's this 33-second video where you can see, you know, the bare essentials of what you've got to do. And you add a tab, you can create some paragraph text. Are there constraints upon what can go in the tab? So we can see paragraphs. Would I, for example, be able to put, I don't know, images?
I don't remember. To be honest, I think it's just possibly a paragraph and a header. Yep. I'm not sure 100%.
Okay.
I think it's in the notes about what can be added.
Okay. Okay.
And the other thing to point out, I'm glad you've zoomed in there. If you've got Gutenberg installed on your WordPress site, you do need to enable the experimental block setting to see this block. So it won't just be enabled by default. So it's currently in experimental phase. Obviously, all of the Gutenberg versions that come out between major WordPress releases, you need to have the plugin installed to try them out. So that was that.
Nice.
And then the other one that I thought was really cool was the HTML block now supports JavaScript and CSS within that HTML.
They're very cool.
That's so wild.
Right? Like, as a developer, thinking about the concept of having CSS and JavaScript inside essentially a JavaScript block, it all just works. It's all just magical. What I also like about this is if we talk about, you know, we were talking about additional CSS earlier. One of my biggest pet peeves as a developer working on any project where I join the project sort of halfway through or pick it up from someone else is when you've got 700 different places where additional CSS has been added or additional JavaScript has been added, and now you have to hunt down all these places.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that additional CSS, for example, is in the editor where you can find it. If you've got a custom HTML block and you need some custom CSS and JavaScript for it, it's in that block, it's part of it. So you don't have to go hunting around, finding it out. So that's just a really cool, like, you know, as a developer, it excites me to see these things coming to blocks and coming to core.
Because I want to try and be accessible, I'm just going to describe what we've just talked about. And that is that let's imagine you're in a paragraph or something like that. On the toolbar, there's an edit code button. And when you click that edit code button, you invoke a modal. And the modal has, I think it was three choices. Three choices, HTML, CSS, JavaScript. You put it in whatever it is that you want to do. I don't know, you want to change the H tag to something else. And then click update. And then it's done. And so it lives inside. It's in a modal pop-up within the block itself. So it's right where the content is, which is kind of cool. Right, sorry, Jonathan.
No, all good. And then the last thing I just wanted to mention is going along with the notes we mentioned earlier, there are a whole bunch of bug fixes for notes that are coming through in this new version. So, you know, that's one of the big focuses right now. So it's cool to see some of these things coming through. So I think if you scroll down towards the bottom there, just below their collaboration,
there we go.
So a whole bunch of fixes for the block stuff. It's just cool to see, you know, we've been talking about collaboration for I don't know how many years now.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see it happening. It's cool to see the things come in. So yeah, if you want to be at the cutting edge of what's coming to the block editor, install the Gutenberg plugin, enable these experimental features, go and play with them, go and test them. Most of the stuff that's being shipped in Gutenberg between now and whenever 7.0 comes out, will probably eventually get merged in 7.0. So it's a good way to keep up to date with what's coming and start influencing it and start giving your feedback as to how all these things work.
Yeah, and there's absolutely loads here. So for example, just on the collaboration piece, there must be, 18 or something there, most of them bound to the notes feature that we've just been describing. If memory serves, I think we're on release candidate 2 at the moment. I could be wrong by a day or two about that. So we're on release candidate 2, meaning that we're fast closing on the official date, 2nd of December, I want to say. Oh, yes. So, you know, if you've got any burning issues, now is the time to bring them to people's attention. But hopefully within 10 days or so from now, we'll have the brand new version of WordPress in everybody's hands, I think. I was going to say, I think that was all the 6.9-y stuff, but I don't think it is. So this is a little beyond my pay grade, and it's also something, for some reason, I haven't really paid all that much attention to. And we have Aki in the comments. So this is over on the repository website. So it says, core contributors prepare to iframe the post editor in 7.0, prompting backward compatibility concerns. Let's ignore that last bit for the moment, the backwards compatibility concerns. Let's just focus on why you would even want to do this. So my understanding is it's just a neat, simple way of isolating, let's say, admin CSS from the editor. Is that literally it? Is it as simple as that, or am I missing some major thing? Nobody
knows. It's essentially as simple as that.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
So that horrible experience you get where you go into the block editor and everything is wildly different because there's just a whole range of other CSS that you can't quite figure out where it is. And so when you go onto the front end, you've got this difference. As you probably know, iframes kind of little containers. They live in their own little universe, if you like. And so the CSS can't be injected into it. Now, so that all seems good, right? In fact, that seems like, why didn't we do this like a decade or more ago? And so that, I guess, is something. But the technicalities of it mean maybe it couldn't have happened in the past. And we've got Aki in the comments, but I'll just read a few bits and pieces out here. So it says, it's a change aimed at modernizing the editing experience and reducing interference from admin styles and third-party scripts. The plan outlined last week by Aki in a developer note, which will be linked to in the show notes. The transition begins in a few days' time, and then it explains the technicalities of how that works with API version 2 or lower. These changes are intended to prepare developers for the switch in full coming in 7. So 6.9, no. This is just really for developers. So nothing is changing in 6.9. Blocks will continue to work as before. It's just that if you are, I guess, a developer and you're playing with blocks and you want the people using your block to know what's going on, now you are going to get some warnings to say that there is something afoot that you need to take care of. And apparently it does go back, Aki says, to 2023, so not that long, in all honesty. And then, you know, it's WordPress, because so we have a variety of different opinions, and it what makes the project so interesting. Some people are saying maybe not a great move. So, for example, Mika Epstein is saying that maybe there hasn't been enough time for developers to react to that. And I guess the thing would be, let's point you to the fact that it's 7.0 and not 6.9, where this is going to happen. And another thing here, this is Timmy Wahalati. I am so sorry, Timmy, for butchering your name. Many developers who maintain client sites don't follow the Make WordPress Core blog closely and risk being unaware of the upcoming changes. I mean, yeah, I guess that's going to be the case. So anything to add to that, you panelists, you...
So I'm very much not a developer, but I remember from 20 years ago that we stepped away from iframes for a whole bunch of different problems. I don't know what's changed in the last 20 years that this is the better solution again.
Absolutely.
So I'm curious. At the same time, I've heard some conversations that I can't verify because I don't have the necessary knowledge, that if we would move to modern CSS and that we might not need this solution because CSS is well capable of separating this if we just do it right. But that's all hearsay because I don't know enough about this.
Yeah, I'm in your camp as well, Taco, there. I'm just sort of following along for the ride. And Courtney's got a little bit extra to add here. So she says, iframing. There is a good chat in Post Status, if you're involved in that, involving Joe Dolson and William Patton regarding concerns for iframing more for accessibility. Sadly, I don't have the capacity to elucidate on that, but okay, thank you, Courtney, that's really helpful. And then she goes on to say a little bit more. There are two separate documents that increases the overall verbosity of the interface. So there are two separate documents. Are you meaning in order to implement the iframe, there's like the iframe version and
it's the page and then the iframe within the page.
That's what I mean. So you've got this iframe sitting inside of what would have otherwise always been just the content anyway. Okay, yeah, interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to let this percolate a bit. And Courtney again says, I would love to have a recorded experience from a screen reader user before and after using the iframe approach.
And I think you should also highlight Amber's comment on this.
Oh, yeah, I did miss
when
that.
The editor becomes... Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Amber said... Well, you can read it out, Taco, if you like.
Yeah, so Amber said, when the editor becomes an iframe, accessibility browser extensions will no longer be able to test it. And this makes accessibility harder.
Oh. Gosh, that is interesting. Okay. And I imagine for that comment, you could substitute quite a variety of different things. Okay, that is fascinating. Okay. Food for thought.
Well, most of the blocks are already iframed. So I think the concern is valid, yeah, about backwards compatibility because version 1 and version 3 of the block JSON or block standards has been not iframed, but all those that were version 3, and most of them are, have no trouble with the iframe. I think it's more a concern of if I have installed or created a custom block in 2020, it was a custom block and it wasn't ready for a site
editor. Oh, I see.
Then it's kind of, and the developer is not there anymore. Then
right, right.
The block doesn't work anymore. That's a big maybe because Ella was also in the GitHub chat there or issue tracking comments there and said, yeah, we don't really know what wouldn't work. We just need to test a few plugins to make sure that an older version of certain blocks are still rendering okay in the block editor after everything is iframed. I'm not want to belittle all the concerns. That's not what I wanted to do, but I also want to take a little bit the temperature out of it to say, okay, there's the last 3 years or 4 years even, there were most of the blocks were all in version 3 and iframed.
Interesting. What was so curious about this to me is exactly what Taco said. I'd kind of forgotten that iframes were even a thing. It was one of those things that people stopped talking about ages ago. And yeah, so when I saw WordPress iframe, what's going on? So, okay, I'll be curious to see in which direction this goes. And if concerns about accessibility, like Amber's just mentioned, you know, bring things, you know, change the path that we're moving on. Aki's back in the comments. Thank you. Many editors, such as mobile or tablet preview and the site editor, already work in iframe. So I think that's maybe what Big it was just alluding to. Yeah. So that conversation happened over on the, or at least that piece happened over on the repository. So go and check it out over there. We've got a further piece from Ray as well. I don't know why I've got this little picture-in-picture thing here. You don't see it. It was only me. That's cute. Oh, maybe there was a video or something. The WP Community Collective celebrates Contributor Day with Contributor Day table leads with appreciation campaign. And there's always, Ray does a summary just right here at the very top, which is always very cool. The WPCC and GoDaddy are spotlighting volunteer table leads from this year's flagship WordCamps and offering stipends to those who paid their own way. So if you read through this, I don't know if this is something that I've heard of before. It's kind of curious. It's like posthumous work. It looks like the WPCC, too many C's there, I think. WPCC have gone back and looked at who were table leads and how they were funded and whether they paid their own way. And then posthumously, for work already carried out, going back and giving stipends out. I don't know what the value of those stipends is or whether it's on a, you know, maybe there's a different value for different ones. But certainly that's what's happening. And I think that's quite interesting. And I'd not heard of that before. I don't know, Taco, I don't know if you're more familiar with this than I am. I imagine Courtney in the comments will
be. Well, we have Courtney in the comments and she's on the board of the WPCC. So
let's see what she comes
maybe she
up
can
with.
Chime in.
But yeah, that
no,
would be...
I don't.
No, okay.
I think
okay.
it's interesting that we're sort of sponsoring retroactively a subset of volunteers.
I wonder if
it's nice.
Again, if Courtney pops up, the curious thing about that is it's work which has already been done, which is like there's something slightly different there, isn't there? Normally we're sponsoring people who are about to do the thing. Like you hear about scholarships and things like that. And so somebody gets a stipend to go to an event and what have you. This is kind of mopping up the stuff that's already happened in 2025. And so, yeah, very curious.
In that sense, it's very similar to the Yoast Fund.
Oh, is that how that works as well?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Celebrates... people who have been active or are active in the community, but it's not before. It's always in hindsight. Like you have been working on a team for XYZ
time. I did not know that. Okay, here we go. So Courtney, as always, is, Jonathan, I'm going to get better, I promise. In the year 2026, my New Year's resolution is to erase Jonathan's face less. That's got to be the show note. Sorry, the show title, Erase Jonathan's Face Less. Anyway, back to the comment. Can somebody write that down so that I can remember it, because I'm about to say something. The WPCC and GoDaddy did a similar campaign last year for WordCamp US on the day of the event. I did not know any of this. It's fascinating what passes you by, isn't it? There is a set amount divided among all who did so on sponsored. Okay, so there's a fixed bit of cash and everybody gets a slice of that pie. Doing so on the day of the event as a surprise was a blast, but not sustainable for those organizing. No kidding. I bet that was really fun for especially the recipients of that. Courtney's available, I'm sure, for comments, but if you want to go and read more about that, this curious thing that I'd not heard of before, this idea of sort of paying for work already done at those events, WP Community Collective celebrates Contributor Day with Table Leads with Appreciation Campaign. You can find that on the repository.
Yeah, anybody else? Oops.
Yeah.
I like that acknowledging of work, kind of, I see you. It means I see you or see you.
Yeah.
And you did good work and then here's something. Yeah, it will never make up for hours or something like that, but it's a really a token of big appreciation and we should have more of that.
I guess the curious slight change, which is a big change, is that if you've got the pot of money, because you haven't assigned it at the beginning, and let's say that you were going to assign it, you thought to yourself, well, I can only afford these three individuals. You know, now you could maybe do these seven individuals who did these things because they've already kind of done it. So it kind of, it just manages it in a different way. Plus you get that nice surprise of somebody showing up and giving you some money, which is very pleasant. Okay, so there we go. Go and check that out on the repository. Right. Okay. I will put this back up. I wanted to just to tell you, it feels a bit like self-promotion, but it's not. It's really all about Jetpack and about Devin Walker. Devin,
it's your podcast. You're allowed to self-promote.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, thanks.
On your podcast. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I always feel bad about it, though. I don't know what it is. It's terrible. Okay, so Devin Walker came on to... Oh! I'm nearly at 200 episodes. That's got to be a thing, hasn't it? Wonder what. What I should do for that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just skip it and go straight to 201. Something like that.
Missing episode.
Yeah, just miss one out. Yeah. Anyway, so Devin Walker has just been appointed as the lead for Jetpack. And Devin previously has been involved in all sorts of ways over the WordPress space, probably most famously as the co-founder with Matt Cromwell of GiveWP, and was kind of having a bit of a moment out of being the lead of a product and was kind of figuring out what his new path would be. And Matt Mullenweg popped up in his feed somewhere and said, I've got a project for you. Do you fancy taking on Jetpack? And it's a project, let's just say it like that. Yeah. Devin's very, very frank about it in the podcast episode. You know how Jetpack is not everybody's favorite thing. In fact, I'm going to go further than that. I'd say that Jetpack is some people's least favorite thing. They really kind of rail against it. And yet it does so much. Maybe that's the problem. It's trying to do lots and lots of things. So he says the phrase, jack of all trades, master of none. Anyway, he's now at the helm. He's got the capacity to really shake things up a little bit. I think AI is going to be a big part of that, plus a reorg of how the team is going to be structured and where the bodies are going to be and who's going to be doing different things. So exciting times, I would hope, in the Jetpack space. So, yeah, if you're a Jetpack user, you've got things to look forward to. If you're not, maybe in a few months' time, it'll be something that you want to look at again because... When I got into the WordPress space, there was just lots of, how to describe it, lots of people having strong opinions about Jetpack, let's put it that way. And there is a lot going on inside that plugin for sure. Does anybody want to add anything to that?
Well, I think they already made a huge change since the time that you joined the WordPress community, because Jetpack used to be one thing with a whole bunch of features, and is now a lot of smaller plugins working quite well together, all under the Jetpack brand.
Yeah,
there's a lot of overlap as well, though. So, for example, you can, it's not inconceivable to be in Jetpack and realize that you've somehow got to the exact same space through a completely different route. So, you know, just things like that, like having a unified UI. And also, you know, just curious things like the fact that there's a whole .com sort of side to it where, you know, if you want to view stats and things like that, you might have to be logged into a .com account. It's not straightforward. We're kind of used to signing up to what feels like a bit of a SaaS product, if you know what I mean. You sign up to the SaaS product, you got one login, and the menu item is the same for everybody, and it's straightforward to follow. Anyway, he takes all of that and explains what his plan is. So it's definitely worth a listen.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Right. Okay. Let's move on. speaking of platforms that not everybody loves.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody loves Meetup.
Okay. Yeah, well,
let us know in the chat if you like Meetup.com.
Tell us in the chat if you love Meetup.com. Well, it looks different. They've got a nice new shiny coat of paint, but underneath, it's still the same. Meetup.com, forget all that. What we want to tell you about is the event that's happening. There's a couple of things to notice this week, much of it tied to WordPress 6.9. If on the 27th of November you are looking for things to do, there's a couple of things which might be of interest to you. So the first one is Maruti M. I'm not sure of Maruti's surname. Apologies.
Mohanty, as you can see on the top right, because confusing interface.
Yeah, there you go. Mohanty, that's right. Yeah, look, it's there and also there. That's, okay, you're right. How to prepare your WordPress site for WordPress 6.9. I mean, it does what it says on the tin. Is there anything else to say about that? No, but what's going on here? Do I get accept or settings? I don't know. Reject all
is the button you're looking for.
So there you go. That's happening at 10 a.m. GMT, which is this Thursday, the 27th of November. And another one, if you would be interested, some chap, Jonathan, I don't know. It only says Jonathan B. I don't know who he is.
No, on the top right, it says Jonathan Bossinger.
Oh, yeah, it says it on the right. Yeah, look. Oh, no, it doesn't. It says share a flyer.
One more conspiracy to hide him.
Hiding Jonathan.
Hiding Jonathan.
That's it. That's hysterical. Juanmar and Jonathan, Juan Margarito and Jonathan are doing a developer hours 6.9 developer updates, you know, to kind of get you in the mood if you're a developer. Do you want to mention anything? I can see block bindings and interactivity APIs under discussion.
Yeah, basically we decided to run a couple of developer hours just focusing primarily on the developer updates that are coming. So we had one 2 weeks ago where we covered data views and data form and the abilities API. That's on WordPress TV if you want to check that out. And then this week we're covering the block binding updates that are coming and the interactivity updates that are coming. So we'll have some live demos, we'll have some code walkthroughs. So if this is something you're interested in, you know, if you're a developer and you want to work with these things or you want to learn what's coming in WordPress 6.9, you can come and join us. If you can't make it at the time, which I know the time is difficult for a lot of folks in sort of the Western Americas, we are recording this and we'll be on WordPress TV a couple of days later.
Nice. So coming up this Thursday at 12 p.m. GMT as well. Okay, right. We've got a piece here. Let me just sort of go through. Because we're very short on time, I'm going to miss out the AI piece, if that's all right. But I'll quickly show it to you if you're interested. So apparently you can find this on Jamie Marsland's blog, but I found it on LinkedIn and didn't find a link out to it. So I'm just going to mention it here. This is really curious. Jamie is very pro AI And but I think it's had his you know, concerns around it in the same way that everybody else. You know, how will WordPress fit into that landscape in the future? Will it get to the point where WordPress is basically obsolete because you can just talk to an AI and it'll build you a website? Well, that he's having read some materials recently, that very much is not the case. He's much more sanguine about it. So go and check it out. It's called Why I'm Now Convinced AI Won't Kill WordPress. And you too can learn all about the child that kicks him on the plane repeatedly in the back. And then a couple of plugins. Let's end this way. A few plugins that I have come across during the course of this week. I think they're new. If they're not new, they're certainly fairly new. So here's the first one. This is called Design Set Go by Justin Neely. And it's a suite of blocks. And it's really, really new. So it's got very few reviews and what have you. But man alive, does he have a lot of blocks. And 47 blocks he's launching with. All sorts, you know, icons, modal triggers, countdown timers, sliders. You get the idea. Maps, the usual array of things. It's on the WordPress.org repo. I don't know if there's a paid version coming in the pipeline, but it's there now. That's the first one. Where's the second one? There we go. This is the next one. Don't fully understand this, in all honesty, but let's just give it a mention anyway. It's called the content area block. And it says this block allows you to add an additional content area to a site editor template and store the block output inside of a meta field. Yeah, okay. So far, so good. And I'm thinking, does this then allow me to basically have two content areas inside the UI of the block editor? And how does that work? How do I know which one I'm in and things like that? Anyway, there it is. Does anybody want to guess how that works or what that does? You?
No, but I do want to install it after this and check it out.
Yeah, isn't that curious? Like, just the idea of two, like, I'm so used to it being meta. You go and fill out that other thing, but having two, I can really see examples of where I would love that. But also, I'm kind of curious as how much I'd mess things up. Anyway, there it is. It's brand new, version 0.1.0. So it's four months old, but it's new on my radar. And here's the last block, which I wanted to mention. Dynamic header.
I think that plugin, maybe because of the fact that it's vague, but we saw the same for Justin Neely's. This plugin's 4 months old, and it has less than 10 inches. We saw the same for Justin Neely's plugin. It was at version 1.2, which was a couple days old, a couple weeks old. So probably the 1.0 release was a couple months, weeks or months ago, and it still has less than 10 installs. And that is a problem for the plugin repo.
Yeah, I know you've got to
expose new plugins well enough.
Yep. It's interesting, like a show like this, you can't really spend the entire thing, but there is some part of me that would love to do just a show about exactly that, just like 10 minutes on a new plugin, then another 10 minutes on another new plugin, and just have a little poke around and see exactly what it does. I'm not sure how engaging that would be, but anyway, thank you. That's a good point. So that was the second one, and then the third one was this one, dynamic header and navigation block themes. So it offers you the capacity to amend things like headers and navigation and things like that, so you can change the size, whether it's sticky and stuff, and presumably it all works with core blocks. That's all I've got really about that one, so I'll link in the show notes. Nice. And was that it? Have we got everything? Or Taco, I've got this one. Was that something you wanted to mention? Or was that because we...
Yeah, so basically this came up in our conversation before starting the show. And it's all about... It's a post Marike wrote about the challenges that she has living with an early adopter.
It's Yoast.
Of technology. And Yoast is definitely an early adopter of pretty much anything he can get his hands on. So she describes a perfect example of a doorbell that keeps ringing for half an hour because it crashed.
Head above.
And so
that's so annoying.
And I mean, stuff like that obviously always happens when he's not at home. My wife could probably have written a similar post because, although I'm not that early in things, I do try to be at the forefront of some of the technological advancements. And that doesn't always work out.
No, I can totally sympathize. I've got a set of outside lights, and I say the G word, you know, the Google word. I use that phrase to trigger Google. And then I just say, turn on the outside lights. And on come the outside lights. 100% of the time, those lights come on. It doesn't matter how many times my wife says the exact same collection of words. No, they don't come on. And then the same thing, turning them off. So I'll turn them on. I'll come back in and say the exact sentence in reverse, like turn off the outside lights. And they go off reliably, 100%.
And so that is partially a problem because we've been training a lot of voice recognition on male voices only.
Yeah,
so women and children will be, not be recognized as easily as male voices because of training sets, which is a problem that, we see a lot in AI now, where the training sets have a real world impact on their use. That goes for little things like voice recognition and stuff like that as well.
I'm going to, you've just given me some ideas. I'm now going to deliberately come up with some things which are really annoying. a speaker come on and just be un-turn-offable. That's when I'm not, as soon as my car gets a mile away from where I live, just play loud music or something. Just something like that. Hide a speaker in a locked cupboard or something.
I think there's other ways to end your marriage, Nathan, what you're looking for.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's definitely going to come back, though. I'll have to, there'll be retribution. But I love stuff like that. Keeps me going. That's it.
It's a fun post to read. Very recognizable for a lot of people, I guess.
Thank you very much. I'm just seeing if there's any more comments that have come in. Not really, except, Serta, thanks for the plug. Oh, okay. So thanks for the plug-in shout out. Oh, that was your plug-in, was it? Oh, okay. That's great. How great. I'm pleased that we mentioned it. That's lovely. New plugin show would be cool indeed. Benny first tests the plugin to see if it's worth the mention. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll bear that in mind.
Actually, I think it's equally fun if you test it for 5 minutes and it's most definitely a waste of time.
Okay. I could make
that much more exciting podcast.
But Nathan is too nice for that.
No, I can. I could,
I'll join you on the show. Don't worry.
I had this thing when I was a kid, and it was called the hardware hammer. And it was like this massive, really massive, it was about 2 foot, 3 foot long hammer, but it was made of the most foamy foam. And so you could smack the heck out of everything. And it was like just gently patting it. And so I used to get my anger out on all of my technology with the hardware. You stupid thing, you. And everybody should have a hammer for moments when the plugin doesn't do what you want. Okay, maybe there's a thing. Maybe we need to do that. That could be hilarious. Right, okay. That is, I believe it. Thank you. Ooh, there we go. I wanted to get rid of that, and I wanted to get rid of that. Okay, that's it. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, firstly. Let's go around the panel. Thank you to Birgit for joining us.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you to Jonathan, whose face just kept kind of going away. Just to sort of emphasize the point, let's just do that.
Where did he go? Yeah.
I can't do what I want to do because we're on a public podcast.
You need a hardware hammer, Jonathan. You need a hardware hammer. So thank you.
Hardware hammer.
Thank you to Jonathan for being a good sport and having his head covered up lots of times. And thank you to Taco for joining us as well. And thank you to you if you came into the comments and you put something down in writing. That's great. Apart from you, bot on Twitch. Stop it. Stop it. It's but, not clever. Nobody thinks you're clever.
It counts as a view, Nathan. It counts as a view.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, that's great. We'll take it in that case. Okay, in which case let's we will probably say goodbye. We need to do the hands. So, okay, give us your hands. Let's give it a wave. Give us a smile. Thank you. We'll be back this time next week. Stay safe. Have a good week.
It's good to see you, Taco.
Yeah.
Thanks,
good
Nathan.
To see you all. Take good it easy.
See you all.
See you later, Jonathan.
Stick around if you want to have a chat, you three. That'd be quite nice. We'll see you in a sec. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye.